to encourage me, to strengthen me, to help me. Lord, I thank you today for your presence, that you didn't leave me as an orphan. You didn't leave us comfortless. We have the mighty comforter with us this morning. Thank you today, Lord, for the comfort and the joy and the peace that comes from trusting in you and serving you with our whole heart. Father, I love you. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Ghost. And I love your children, Lord. We love each other. And we will draw strength and encouragement from each other with the same comfort that you minister to us. We will be faithful to minister the same courage, the same strength, the same power, the same goodness that you have ministered to us. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for the will of God coming forth in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and thank God for his comfort right now. Go ahead and receive his comfort. Receive joy. Receive whatever you need.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my book titled, Jesus Did It For You. I'm excited about this book because it focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Everything Jesus did, he did for our benefit. So many have only a limited knowledge of what belongs to them because of the price Jesus paid for our redemption. He became sin so we could be made righteous. He became poor so we could be made rich. He was beaten so we could be healed and walk in health. He carried our sorrows so we could have fullness of joy. This is just a glimpse of what you'll find in Jesus Did It For You. I also share what's included in your heavenly benefits package and give practical insight on how to receive, apply, and enjoy the inheritance God has freely given you. You can receive your copy of Jesus Did It For You for only $11.95 at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TheWordCC.com, or you can call 318-442-8100. The book is also available in hardcover and Kindle versions. Order your copy today. Jesus Did It For You. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God, our Heavenly Father, so thankful are we that the blood still works. That you're just as faithful today as you were back in the day. And for that we say thank you. Now, Lord, bless us at this preaching hour, that you'll speak to our hearts and you'll challenge us right where we are and bring us to the level you'll have us to be. For your glory and our good, in Jesus' name we pray. The people of God said amen. God bless you. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 22. Isaiah, verse 33, or chapter 33, rather, verse 22. Once there, you shall find these words. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what is Christ to you? What is Christ to you? Isaiah says he's our judge. He is our lawgiver. He is our king. He will save us. Now, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this world, while this word is primarily placed in the application of the time of the millennial, when Israel shall be the great nation of the world, yet this verse has in principle application for all men in every age. The theme of the verse is the place which Jesus Christ holds in regards to man. This place that he holds as judge, as lawgiver, as king, as savior, is a reality that we as believers must participate in and partake in, as all that we need is built in Jesus Christ. One of the things that's important is to understand that while he is all of these and so many other things, the question becomes, is he that to you? Because one of the things that you must understand is, just because man don't accept him, just because man don't want him, just because man does not acknowledge him, does not make him not who he is or what he is. The question becomes, what is he, Christ, to you? So as Isaiah places again this focus on Jesus Christ, one of the things that I want us to look at is first, as our judge. And I think it would be helpful to the believer to realize and recognize the importance of Isaiah making clear that the Lord is our judge. Yes. Because there are things that as men and women of God and men and women who reside in this world, that we are judged by many judges. Just because they're judges don't mean they're your judge. Here is the reality that Isaiah places this whole thought in view. He makes clear that we understand that while there are judges in various courtrooms, in various level of the jurisprudence system, the reality is that the ultimate judge is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you begin to understand and recognize, no matter what the lower courts hand out, no matter what the lower judges say, the ultimate reality in the ultimate court of eternity is the one that ultimately will have the last word. And so when men don't understand you and they judge you wrongly and falsely, that's all right. Because where it really counts at, they're not judging. The Lord is my judge. And so you will find yourself not getting in foolish fights, trying to defend what the Lord already knows. You ain't got to prove nothing when you know that the Lord knows the whole story. You ain't got to go around trying to erase what somebody has written when you know God is the one who's going to judge you and the situation. And so when you understand the Lord is our judge, then you'll recognize your focus then is on pleasing him, walking worthy before him, honoring him, because in the end, he is the one who judges you. I wish I had a helper in the house. Have you ever been misjudged? Some folk didn't even know you. They didn't like what you had on. And just because you had on some good stuff, looking good, smelling good, all the rest of that, they thought you were too good. So they ain't speak to you because they thought you were too uppity and bigoted to speak back to them. And you said, good morning. And blew them apart and what their judgment was. Have you ever been lied on? But when I, what I want you to know is our judge is going to judge the liar. Don't worry about the lie. The liar is going to be judged by our judge. When you know the Lord is your judge, you won't go around worrying about what men say about you. When the ultimate reality is, if you walk circumspectly, I got news for you. No man walked better, plainer, clearer, more holy and just than Jesus, and they still found stuff to talk about him. So what about you? The Lord is our judge. When we look at this, my brothers and sisters, most folk judge character and crises by human standards, and they judge them, and too oftentimes the only judgment we are acquainted with is human judgment. And not many folk think about God's judgment, but it is the most important judgment of all. We more worry our minds, fix our thoughts on the lower judgment of men than the higher judgment of God. Do you know many of us won't do what we ought to do because we don't want folk to judge us? Many of us are afraid to walk in love, walk in truth, walk in kindness, walk in this, walk in that, walk in what God has called us to, because we don't want to be judged by the lower judges, worldly judges. And here's the thing, they're still going to judge you anyhow. But so is our judge. And so, my brothers and sisters, we need to focus our mind on what our judge is going to render, what he's going to say, what he's going to do. He's a righteous judge. And thank God that as a righteous judge, his judgment is righteous. And my brothers, my sisters, let us be more concerned about the Lord who is our judge than man who is our judge. Second thing is, Christ is our lawgiver. Divine laws are the primary laws by which we are to live. Now, there are laws of the land that we ought to obey and we ought to operate in, but the primary laws that we ought to operate in comes from the Word, comes from the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Word personified. And so we must understand that there is no greater word, no greater law than the Word of the Lord. There comes a time in life when you're going to have to make a decision. Which law will you obey? The laws of the land or the laws of the Lord? Who is the ultimate law giver to the believer? Because there are some things that the law of the land permits that the law of the Lord does not. We can't get so hung up on the laws of the land that we forget the laws of the Lord will rule and reign over the laws of the land. And yet do they now do that in the court of heaven? But the reality of the believers, it should be the same. Listen, let God's word be true and all men liars. What man says cannot compare to what God says. When you talk about Jesus Christ being the great lawgiver, when you understand he is the one of whom you operate and hear from, he is the one out of which you follow your directions and take your course. The law that the Lord has given to us is the law, which is the word, which is what he honors and we must honor. And in the end, it is that same word that we shall be judged by. So he's got to be your lawgiver. He has the right to decide as the creator what the creation, us, should live like. Who better than the creator know how he intended by the divine design for his creation to act, to live? And so that's why when there are laws that are written, and I got to tell you, they all came after this law.
Yes, sir.
They either agreed or disagreed with this law. They're either in cooperation or they condemn this law. But the end result is we have got to make a choice in whom we trust. Yes. And what law we believe. And if it's not the Lord, then I can tell you now, you can unpack your bags because you ain't going to heaven. And where you're going, all your stuff will burn up. So if the Lord says in his word, thou shalt not, then I don't care what the laws of the land say. The issue of marriage. It was man and woman. Now states are taking it upon themselves to change this law and make the law of the land agreeable to two men and two women get married in union. Listen, ain't nothing holy about that matrimony. You ain't got to say amen. You might be suffering with the effects of the laws of the land. I don't care what the laws of the land say. If the Lord has given the law, then it is that law that we ought to abide by. No real Christian can stand before God knowing his word has said one thing and the land has said another, and we will go and agree with the land and then go before God and say, well, it was our choice. If you are created, your only choice is to follow the creator. You are not your own. You were not bought with your own price. You belong to God. And so we can walk this word through, and everywhere where God has spoken, where the Lord has spoken, where the law is given, that takes precedence over the laws of the land. I don't care how the laws of the land may give you liberty. If the Lord says don't, then don't. I know I have the liberty to do, but my lawgiver said don't. So excuse me if I can, and I don't. Because I know I'm going to have to answer to the real lawgiver. And so when we begin to understand and operate and do not rebel against the Creator and understand, our lives will flow in the fullness of God's blessings, the richness of God's blessings, because we honor the lawgiver by honoring his law. You can't honor Jesus and rebel against his word. You can't speak against his word and say, I love the Lord. You can't say, I surrender all but this. All to him I owe, but I ain't ready to pay. No, you got to understand that it is laid out in Scripture that as a believer, the Lord is our judge and the Lord is our lawgiver. But I need to move it on up a little bit higher, because next it makes clear the Lord is our King. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. As Christ is our King, we may have, you know, earthly kings and presidents and potentates, etc., who may reign over the affairs of men, etc. But I think I need to tell you that our King is the King of Kings. In other words, all kings have to bow to our King. We have the supreme King. We have the kingliest King. He is our King. Listen, one of the things that you need to understand is that no matter how many other kings there are, to us, he is our, talking about believers, talking about brothers and sisters of the faith, talking about those who are connected with the household of God. He is our King. Now, understand this and understand the fact that there are supreme powers and there are supreme potentates, there are supreme personalities, etc., again, who rule over the affairs of men. But ultimately, when you talk about your soul, there should not be but one King. And Jesus Christ is that King. And listen to this, because what matters most is not who's president, but what matters most is who's resident in you. And this King is the only King who can live in you and then rule over you. Y'all don't hear me. No other king, no other president, no other potentate, no other power can do that. And no other king has done for you what this King has done. No other king gave up his kingdom and became a servant and suffered and went through everything that you had to go through and then maximized the suffering by going through what you couldn't go through in order to be your King. He himself forfeited all of the rights of heaven, the deity that he possessed, and became the Son of Man, took on the form of flesh, became human being, so that he could identify with you. What other king wants to know what it feels like to be a servant? What other king wants to know what it feels like when you cry? What other king wants to know what it feels like when you're hungry? What other king wants to know how you feel when you're tortured and tempted beyond your ability to handle and deal with more than you can? What other king wants to know how the servant feels? My king does. And he gave up everything that he had and was. What other king would become poor to make you rich? What other king would augment his power so that you would become an heir and a joint heir, to be able to sign off on the same documents that your king signs off on, that could speak with authority like your king speaks with authority, that walk in authority like your king, that gave you the keys that open up all his stuff? What other king would be like our king? I want to submit to you, none other. That's why there's no other king like my king. Right on, King Jesus. I wish I had a helper in the house. And that's why it's good to be able to say, that's my king. Who are you talking about? Jesus. That's mine. Ah, when I think about the goodness of my king and all that he's done for and is doing for and will do for me, my soul cries, yes! Ooh, bless his holy name. I'm talking about, that's my king. That's my king. Oh. Listen. And so we want to honor him. I said, honor him. We ought not have no problem bowing before our king. We ought not have no problem calling upon our king. We ought not have no problem lifting up our king. We ought not have no problem praising our king. We ought not have no problem witnessing for our king. Jesus is our king. Can I get a king worship this morning? A king praise this morning? Worthy of our king. And the last thing I want to tell you is he will save us. In order to save us, he's got to be a savior. Yeah, I say, in order to save us, he's got to be in the saving business. And listen at this, it says he will. Not he might. Not he could. Not I hope. Not I wish. Well, how can he save us? Well, because he's our judge. And when the enemy comes against us and tells lies, et cetera, et cetera, whenever he takes our name and run it through the mud, whenever the enemy gets his false witnesses against me, what I rejoice in is he's our judge. Now, he ain't just no lawyer. He's our judge. See, the lawyer would only simply present my facts against the enemy's fact. And the judge will still in the end have to render the decision. But he skips all over that and just goes straight on to the judgeship. And so we ain't got to waste time, because he already knows the whole story. He is our judge. Well, not only that, he's our lawgiver. So that